is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ with T.A. McMahon and produced by The Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for tuning in. Are Catholic beliefs and doctrines condemned by the Bible? That topic is our focus in this week's cover article. Along with his co-host Mike Gendron, here's T.A. McMahon.
Welcome to According to God's Word, a program in which we encourage looking to the Bible alone for all of what God says about himself, about us, what he expects of us, and most importantly, what he has done for us that we might spend eternity with him. My out-of-studio co-host for today's program is Mike Gendron, the author of Preparing Catholics for Eternity and head of the ministry Proclaiming the Gospel. He's also one of the co-founders of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Mike, welcome back to the program.
Well, it's good to be back with you, Tom.
We're in the Epistle to the Galatians, and we're in chapter 2, and we're going to pick up with verse 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Mike, as a former Roman Catholic, and you know, I can speak for myself as well, these verses mean something to me.
Well, they really do. Again, we see the similarities between the Judaizers and the Roman Catholic priesthood, because whereas the Judaizers were forcing people to be circumcised in order to be saved, that was a condition for salvation, we see how the Roman Catholic priesthood is also compelling people to be baptized, to receive sacraments, to do good works, and on and on and on in order to be saved. And so what's happening is people are under legalistic bondage. Mm-hmm. They don't understand the grace of God because of the false brethren that are preaching a false gospel.
Mike, in last week's program, you mentioned this treasury that the Roman Catholic Church has. We talked about the Roman Catholic Church stating that salvation is by grace. But the spin they have on that, and I have to use the word spin, is that these graces, they're not directly from Christ. They are through the saints, through certainly Christ's work, through Mary, what all of Mary did. And this treasury, who holds the treasury?
Well, the Pope is said to have the power to transfer the merit out of the treasury to those who are suffering in purgatory. And get this, he refuses to do so unless indulgences are offered in the name of those who are suffering.
So the Church is dispensing these graces. So a person who wants these graces and needs these graces, according to the Church for salvation, where do they go? They have to go, as you mentioned earlier, to the priest, to the Church itself, to the sacraments, to all of these things. Now, Mike, isn't that bondage?
Well, it is. In fact, it's horrible bondage. Catholics are not only in bondage in this life, but even in the next life, because Catholics are taught when their loved ones die that they must do certain things in order to have them removed from the fires of purgatory. And so they're still in legalistic bondage even after death.
Mm-hmm. The other aspect of this is this verse talks about liberty. Who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. We have the gift of salvation, which Christ has provided for through his death, burial, and resurrection. And that's made available to everyone who is willing to turn to him, to come to him.
That's right, Tom. In fact, Jesus himself said, the mark of a true disciple is one who abides in his word, because then they will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. They will have liberty from this legalistic bondage.
Mm-hmm. Mike, I'm sure it was the same with you. When evangelicals or Bible-believing Christians talked to you before you really understood what the gospel was, they talked about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, when you believed what they said and you received the gospel, this gift of salvation, did you really have a personal relationship with Jesus?
Well, I did, Tom. In fact, no longer did I have to go through other mediators. I no longer had to go through a priest.
Or through an organization, right?
Right. I went directly to God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and there I found salvation. There I found complete forgiveness. You know, as Roman Catholics, Tom, we were never completely forgiven. We always had residual sin that we one day would have to pay for ourselves in purgatory. But what good news when we recognize that Christ was sufficient to forgive us from all of our sin.
Mm-hmm. And there are so many scriptures. One of the scriptures that I was just hit me as you were saying that, Paul saying, absent from the body, present in purgatory? No. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Because you began your salvation with a personal relationship with Him, not through some process, not through having to go through some organization, not having to go through the priest or being in a place. You're not going to find purgatory in the scriptures. Right, Mike?
Well, that's right. In fact, we see a vivid example of that. The thief on the cross that died and put his trust in Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't say, after you spend hundreds of years in purgatory paying for all of your sins, then you can come join me. He said, today, this very day, you will be with me.
So that's the issue here. We have liberty in Christ. And those who have never known this liberty, who are in a process of justification, then committing a mortal sin, then having to be justified, having to go through the sacrament of penance, and then receiving the sacrament of the Eucharist. Mike, it reminds me in Hinduism, they talk about the wheel of samsara, the wheel of sorrows, that, you know, it's a kind of a reincarnation thing. There's life, then there's death, then there's rebirthing, and then life again, and on until you get it right. But Mike, I really fear that most Catholics have gotten into this really wheel of sorrow, that there's no way out. And purgatory, no one can tell you how long. No one can tell you how many masses need to be said, let alone the idea that fires could somehow justify somebody. Fires could somehow expiate sins. I don't understand that.
Well, Tom, that's why hell is eternal, because fire has no effect on sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can purify sin. And you've just really addressed the key issue, and that is this perpetual bondage that Roman Catholics are in, because even when they've offered hundreds of masses for their loved ones, they still do not know if that was enough to get them out of purgatory. They're in bondage just perpetual. And what a cruel hoax the Catholic Church has imposed on its people.
Mike, now this may be pressing it a little, and you correct me in this. I have been to Requiem Masses. I've been to the funerals of loved ones who were Roman Catholics. And the issue always comes up, or it seems to be a given, no matter what kind of life they've lived, that they're going to be in purgatory. Now, how do they know?
Well, they don't. And again, it comes back to their definition of sin. They've got two categories, and only the most serious sins would warrant hell and not purgatory. And of course, when you ask a Catholic what a mortal sin is, they would refer to murder or adultery or missing church on Sunday. And they pretty much believe that if they haven't done any of the serious sins, then they will end up in purgatory and not in hell.
Mike, let me press it a little bit more. So I'm at a funeral, Catholic funeral, and it's a relative, and I want to give money to the church to say masses that he or she may get out of purgatory sooner than later. How can they really give me confidence that my loved one is really in purgatory rather than hell? And then where does my money go?
Well, they can't tell you that. But we know, don't we, Tom? We know that anyone who rejected Christ and his gospel is not in a place called purgatory. They're in the place of hell, where one day they will be thrown into the eternal lake of fire and suffer torment day and night for all eternity. And that's the reason we have a program like this, is to reach Roman Catholics. They need to hear the gospel and be saved from this legalistic bondage.
Mm-hmm.
But I might point again to verse 4, where it talks of false brethren. We don't want Catholics to, for a minute, believe that they are the only false brethren. There are false brethren within the Protestant ranks. There are false brethren within the cults. Anyone who perverts or distorts the gospel of Jesus Christ is a false brethren. And so the only way we can know a true brethren from a false brethren is to know the scriptures, to know the truth of God's word.
Right. Mike, let me just remind our listeners, we're in the second chapter of Galatians, but in the first chapter, Paul writes, "But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed." The Greek word is anathema, cut off, excommunicated. Verse 9, "As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." So, again, Mike, this isn't your idea. It's not my idea. We are pointing to the scriptures with regard to something that has the weight of where somebody is going to spend their eternal destiny.
Right, and we see in this second chapter that Paul is driving a stake in the ground. In verse 5, he says, "We did not yield submission even for an hour so that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." You see, Paul is making it clear that nothing can be added, nothing can be taken away. The gospel must remain pure. And so that's why we need to get the truth to Roman Catholics. They have been believing a false gospel. And Tom, each time I went to the confessional and the priest told me my sins were forgiven, I realized now I left with a false hope because he never communicated the true gospel to me. And I never believed the gospel because I never heard it, and therefore my sins were still remaining with me.
Mm-hmm. Mike, could you just present the gospel that you received that brought you eternal life?
Well, yeah, we see it's outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4. Paul says it is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures, not according to man's tradition, but according to the scriptures. And this gospel offers the complete forgiveness of sin, a right standing with God for all eternity, a relationship with God, and the assurance of eternal life. And so the gospel means good news. As a Roman Catholic, Tom, we never heard the good news. In fact, there is no good news in the Catholic Church. The Catholic plan of salvation would tell you that if you receive sacraments all your life and do good works and are a devout Catholic, at the end of your life, all you can expect is the fiery punishment of purgatory to purge away your sins.
Mm-hmm. So that's why, Mike, you mentioned earlier this false hope that going to confession, having a priest supposedly absolve your sins, it's good to understand that you are a sinner. But now the way of salvation has to be the way according to the scriptures. Yes, I'm a sinner. And I can't save myself. No one can save themselves. God alone, the scripture says, he alone is our Savior. And he did. "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should have eternal life." That's what God provides. He gives that to us as a gift, if we're willing. So really, it's as simple as that. On the one hand, we say simple because the gospel is miraculous. Only God could present it in a way that a young child can receive eternal life through believing and trusting in him, whereas it's so profound that for eternity we are not going to be able to understand the fullness of God's love and what he has done. But he did become a man, and when we believe that he died for our sins and he offers it to us as a free gift, then we have eternal life. That's the simple gospel.
Well, it is simple, Tom, and yet people have a hard time believing it because they would rather believe that their own righteousness could get them into heaven, that they're really not that bad enough to need a Savior. And so the cross is a stumbling block for many. But that's why Jesus said the road that leads to life is narrow and very few find it, because people are looking to themselves instead of to Christ. what they can do for God instead of what God has already done for them through Christ Jesus.
Well, it's our prayer that many will receive the gospel of truth, not the gospel according to Mike or according to Tom, but the gospel according to God, the gospel of Christ.
You're listening to According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Now, Tom and Mike address questions from listeners in this week's Q&A.
This listener writes, could you explain the use of the scapula and how it relates to a Roman Catholic salvation? Now, Mike, I was a Roman Catholic for about 30 years. I haven't been a Catholic for 20-some years. Mike, I know the Pope wears one, but is it still popular?
As far as I know it is, I know as a Roman Catholic I also wore one because the brown scapula, the little booklet that came with it, told me that if I was wearing the scapula, that Mary would take me to heaven the first Saturday after my death. And it also told me, this little booklet, that if I was wearing the scapula, that I would be preserved from the fires of hell.
Mm-hmm. But you're in purgatory at the time. She's going to descend into purgatory, right, to take you out.
That's what we were taught. And, of course, I looked at it as a good luck charm because I didn't know too much about theology at the time, and I just thought I better wear this because I don't want to go to hell.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mike, it's interesting. This would be considered, as far as the Church is concerned, one of the sacramentals, and lots of these things, whether it be holy water, whatever it might be, they help you with the graces that you need, but the scapular in particular, that goes back to, what is it, the 13th century, I think, St. Simon Stock. An apparition of Mary appeared to him and presented him with this device, a scapula for those who have never seen one. As Mike said, it's the brown scapula is obviously brown, but it's a piece of cloth. Part of it hangs on your chest, and then there is another piece that is on your back, and they're connected with cords. And you wear this, so you have part of it on the front of your body and your chest and part of it on the back of your body. And if you wear it with the proper devotion, and again, you sort of have to put an asterisk there because, you know, Mike, I hate to inform you of this now, but if you just wore it as a good luck charm, it wouldn't do anything for you. Along with this device had to be the devotions that were necessary to please Mary. But then this device was going to get you out of purgatory very quickly. As you said, the first Saturday after you descended into purgatory to have your sins purged, to have your sins expiated through fires and flames and so on. But Mike, isn't that sort of contradictory? If you're going there to have your sins expiated through the fiery flames and it's necessary for you to have all of them, right? Every last temporal sin that you ever committed has to be burned from you.
Well, that's what the Catholic Church teaches. And, you know, the popular Christian hymn, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus, that surely cannot be sung by Roman Catholics because they have other means of expiating sin. And the Catholic Church teaches that an indulgence is the remission of temporal punishment for sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're wrong on two accounts. Number one, you cannot have remission of sins without the blood of Jesus. And number two, there's no such thing as temporal punishment. The wages of sin is eternal death, eternal separation from God and the lake of fire that lasts forever. And so for a Catholic to believe that his sins only warrant temporal punishment instead of eternal punishment, they need to know the truth. And they need to know that only the blood of Christ mm-hmm. can remit sins.
Now, Mike, if I were to ask you, where in the Bible do you find scapulas? You know, I can start with purgatory, but I want to stay right on scapula. Where is it? Do you know any verses that...
No, in fact, Tom, that's what I challenge Roman Catholics to do. They tell us that their church goes back to Peter's confession of faith and that the church never changes. And since the book of Acts is a history book of the first century church, I encourage Catholics to study the first century church and find if there's any mention of scapulars mm-hmm. or purgatory or indulgences or Christians praying for souls in purgatory, they won't find any of these activities in the first century church. Yeah. And so therefore their faith is not the apostolic faith, but a faith that has been twisted and distorted over time.
Mm-hmm. Developed over 1,500 years. When some of these doctrines or dogmas are presented in the church, they're usually based, well, the church has always believed this, and then they find some church fathers who seem to have this idea or that idea. But, Mike, you know from church history, particularly the writings of so-called church fathers, they were in contradiction to one another over lots of issues.
Well, they really were. And oftentimes, Catholics, when they cannot find scriptures to give credence to what is being taught today in the Catholic Church, they will search the early church fathers to try and find credibility with them. But I always say at that point, how do we know that the early church fathers aren't the very people that Paul warned us against, that even from your own number, men will arise to distort the truth in order to lead away disciples after them?
Mm-hmm.
You see, we have to keep going back to the Word of God. If it's in the Word of God, we are to believe it and trust it. If it's not, we're to reject it.
And because the Word of God claims to be just that, God's revelation to man. And Mike, we could do dozens of programs just on how the Bible itself answers all the questions that we have. It supports, reinforces all the information that's in it. Has to be God's Word. It has to be perfect in every way. So that's something that some people could challenge, and they have for a couple of thousand years. Certainly from the time of Moses, we have the Old Testament through the New Testament. That's a lot of time to sort of blow this out of the water.
Well, it really is, Tom, and we mentioned that the Catholic Church recognizes the abuses that were done in the name of indulgences over the history of the church, and so Vatican II came up with some new rules regarding indulgences, and I would just like to read one for our audience. It's Rule 17. It states that the faithful who use with devotion an object of piety, that is a crucifix, cross, rosary, scapular, or medal, after it has been duly blessed by any priest, can gain a partial indulgence. But if this object of piety is blessed by the Pope or any bishop, the faithful who use it with devotion can also gain a plenary indulgence. So the difference here is who's blessing the object of piety, whether or not you have all of your sins wiped away or only partial forgiveness. And isn't it interesting that the blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross is said to be insufficient in forgiving the punishment of sin, but yet an object of piety blessed by the Pope is said to have more power than the blood of Christ.
Yeah, if people can't see man's rules and regulations in this, Mike, I don't know why.
If you have questions for Tom and his guest to address in a future broadcast, stay with us. In a moment, we'll let you know where to send them. This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. We offer many teaching materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For more information about Reaching Catholics for Christ, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Or visit our website at www.reachingcatholics.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number A0362. And please mention the call letters of this station. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for joining us. And we hope you can tune in again next week for According to God's Word.